these strange days of fighting over gender bathrooms, privacy, and freedoms, what is going on? North Carolina sought to use law to stop men from using women's bathrooms and vice versa. So what's at the heart of this bizarre battle? According to the elites, gender is a fluid concept that has no fixed definition. So let's examine a few different definitions of these various words here. Sex, according to the dictionary, is either of the two main categories, male and female, into which humans and many other living things are divided on the basis of their reproductive functions. But gender is, on the other hand, the state of being male or female, typically used with reference to social and cultural differences rather than biological ones. So sex and gender are two separate categories, and a person, therefore, could be physically male, but mentally identified as female, according to this. So let's add a third concept, transgender. What is that? Transgender is denoting or relating to a person whose self-identity does not conform unambiguously to conventional notions of male or female gender. In other words, that's the same idea. Now, the issue confronting all states now is whether they will allow people of opposite sex, of the opposite sex, to use a bathroom that supposedly conforms to their transgendered view of themselves instead of their sex. Get that? So why not? After all, what's the harm? Here's an argument against allowing continued incursions into the culture in the name of gender. First, all people are born male or female, with some few biological deformity exceptions. Second, the survival of our race depends upon this for childbirth. Third, no scientific evidence has ever proved a person can be born into the quote wrong body. In other words, this is a political fight over the meaning of personhood instead of a sheer academic battle over the definition on a biological level. Fourth, surgeons cannot change someone's sex since this is ultimately set at a cellular level. For example, a transsexual man morphing into a woman is an illusion since it cannot get pregnant and give birth. Fifth, there is no clear definition of what transgendered even means. Sixth, people who identify as trans have a much higher substance abuse, mental illness, and suicide rates, somewhere around 40% of attempted suicide. Seventh, this topic generally confuses and makes redundant the topic of differences between men and women, but there are significant natural differences between the way women think and act as opposed to men. Eight, the blurring of lines of sex and gender mean that we are removing role models from children and confusing them as to what it means to be a human being. Studies show that fathers are especially important for the healthy growth of children. Nine, politicians are misusing the gender debate for their own selfish, craven, cynical, and twisted ends without any regard for public safety. 10. Since most people believe in a biblical God, in America anyway, 70-80%, and therefore that people are made in his image, this tends to undercut religious freedom and practice and deny the existence of God himself. After all, it's stated, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female, Mark 10:6. In the federal lawsuit recently launched, the Department of Justice said about the North Carolina law that it stigmatizes, and this is in quotes, stigmatizes and singles out transgender employees, results in their isolation and exclusion, and perpetuates a sense that they are not worthy of equal treatment and respect. In the meantime, the Alabama Chief Judge of the Supreme Court, Roy Moore, has been removed for refusing gay marriage. So what gives? Friends, we forget at our grave peril many ideas subsumed in the notion of gender, sex, and identity are the products of culture, which often obscures the constructed elements of these topics. For example, in the book Personality Disorders and Culture, the authors describe how gender models bridge the gap between the personal and societal. Further, the society sets identity standards which radically affect how people then pursue their goals and the modes of which for finding happiness, which individuals experience as a seamless thing, but which are actually constructed, and as you can see in this case, very much constructed by the upper parts of society. For example, in the article, Nobody is Born That Way, gay historian B. David Benkoff describes how the notion that people are, quote, born gay only came into being 150 years ago. Further, the concept as uniquely gay did not exist either as a societal construction or as an experience. In other words, this fight is contrived. The participants are pathetic victims, and our society is getting hijacked by mad bureaucrats on an insane and utterly diabolical power trip. Therefore, our government, guided by a corrupt and illiterate academy, political system, media, and advocacy groups, are misusing their power to poison the minds of the youth for power. But what are their goals? To overturn the family, traditional religion, and the conservative movement, to attain destruction of society, to rebuild it along their own ideals. As Carl Schmitt stated in What is the Political, in The Concept of the Political, that the political is merely the state expressing its will in any way it chooses. So in this case, it is choosing to overturn the very definition of sex in our society. Isn't that shocking? Can this rampant and very public destruction of human identity be stopped? Possibly, but we must recognize we're in the fight of our lives and we need to get off our posteriors and start battling back before our way of life is extirpated, root and branch, and freedom is snuffed out of existence. Good morning, Kelly O'Connell, 613. A little longer of a opening there for you, but I was kind of fascinated by what was going on in North Carolina. And I am convinced that it is an evil thing that's going on. And I wanted to bring it up for you. And I think everybody who listens to this show from the calls that we've gotten has an open enough mind to claim that you want other people to be happy and have freedom. But what is going on here is so much crazier. And really, it's an evil thing. And I say that because you're teaching children that what it means to be a human being, which we have always interpreted through our sex, through male and female, is not set. And in addition to the fact that it's not set, can be moved and adapted as people decide. Now, it would be one thing if individuals claim to be born in the wrong body. That's one issue. But really what these people are pushing is so much more radical I think really just dangerous, and what they're pushing out there is there really is no such thing as sex. It's only gender. It doesn't matter what parts are on your body, even though those parts decide who you are, have always decided who you are in traditional society. And that doesn't mean there's not personality differences between people. I mean, one, you see two women, two girls, one is a tomboy and the other one's extremely feminine. But it's always been understood that a tomboy was a female, and a lot of girls that are tomboys, most girls that are tomboys when they're young, grow up to be functioning females who embrace their gender. So what we're doing is, I think we're launching into a restructuring, a re-socialization at the most profound level. You're basically saying you're not made in the image of God, male or female. You're just there, and whatever you decide your gender is what it is. And so I didn't even get into the so-called safety issues because I haven't really studied the statistics. But having men go into female restrooms presents a couple of problems. I guess females coming into men's restrooms wouldn't be quite the same thing, because most men are not intimidated by women. But most women have a sense of at least theoretical threat from men. And if a man comes into a woman's space, that takes, you know, especially in a private matter, that takes away her ability to feel comfortable doing her makeup or using the bathroom or whatever. And if you think about this, the way it's being designed, the way it's being defined is absolutely nonsensical. you are trying to use bathrooms to salve or to soothe the unhinged psyches of people who don't even know what sex they are, what gender they are. And so to do that, you've got to be able to let them go into these bathrooms of the opposite sex and use those bathrooms. But it's an interior thing. It's, you know, a man goes into a woman's bathroom. There's no urinal there. And, so what difference does this is what I don't get. You've got toilet stalls and doors in both sides. Why didn't the man who feels like he's a woman inside go into the men's room and just go in the stall and close the door and just let it be stated that if there are what they used to call cross dressers coming in, that they will be left at peace. Whereas now all of the women in these bathrooms have to be put at a disadvantage and at ill ease so these men can come in. And you might fight me over the definition of man and woman, but I think at a higher level, we have to understand that these ideas are deeply influenced by the society and the standards and the definitions of the society. And what I think that we're doing in the society now is we are setting up future generations for not just failure, but misery. Because if a person grows up and says, you know, I feel confused and I don't know really, you know, I grew up without a dad or, you know, whatever the person's background is. And there's an enormous number of people, kids today, that are growing up without a father, which has been proven statistically to create a lot of problems. Then these kids are now encouraged by the society to launch into an investigation of whether they're male or female, which, you know, as I mentioned in the opening, the statistics for mental health issues and suicide, incarceration, all these things are so much higher for these individuals. You're basically the society is auguring in, it's encouraging confusion and misery and why. And so I think it's another step from this politically correct crowd that is constantly trying to overturn the traditional way of life so that they can get to power. My argument is that they don't care in the least about these individual people, they're pawns. And this is always true of the politically correct crowd. Human beings don't have any worth unto themselves. They are pawns to be used to achieve their goals. And I think it's sick. I mean, if you think about destroying people's lives or laying out a foundation for failure and misery, it's a very sad thing. And so anyway, I wanted to do that. Now, that doesn't even, of course, get into the whole debate over Roy Moore and what's going on in Alabama and this battle over gay marriage, which has already been decided, but it's really the same issue. I mean, what is gender? What is marriage? I mean, if the society gets up and says, you know, through the court system or whatever, a marriage is between any two people that want to be married, and you get rid of the natural definitions. And, you know, people, everybody goes through periods of time of confusion and such. What you're doing is giving support, aid and support to things that normally speaking create unhappy people. And that is not knowing who you are, not knowing where you came from or where you're headed. And I think that the direction that this society is headed in is just, it's evil. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. And, you know, you're taking away the opportunity for these youngsters, a lot of these youngsters, to have a stable and happy life. And then you're coming up with all of these crazy theories to back up back up your position. And the people that are suffering are these kids that are being grown up because they've proven that, that people are deeply influenced by things like this, by the court system coming in and saying, these bathrooms are here for everybody. And there's no such thing as sex, and gender is decided. One day a person could decide that they're male. The next day they could decide they're female. And the third day they could go back to being male. And according to how this is being defined by the culture, there's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, let's take a break here. Kelly O'Connell, 622 AM, Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450 to call in and 805-6180 to text. And we'll be back. And we do have Walt coming in at the break of the hour. The leadership of this country has become a ship of fools, and we're headed right into the heart of a hurricane like that. Those people that drove that sailed that ship into the middle of that hurricane and then were sunk. I've never seen such idiocy, self-righteous, just blind, intolerant, judgmental, biased, just stupidity. I've never seen anything like it, and it's getting worse. Every day it gets worse. That's why we need somebody to come in, and I just hope that whoever gets in, it's not going to be Hillary, but if Trump gets in, that he stands up to these people, because we're destroying the country. The culture is in pieces. Here's a little bit on Alabama Chief Justice Roy Moore on same-sex marriage.
The spotlight once again.
Well, actually, this is a couple of months old, and this other one right here is current, so let's get to this one right here because we're running out of time.
Became ground zero in the debate over marriage earlier this month when a federal judge ruled the state ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. But Alabama State Supreme Court put a halt to gay weddings, pitting a state against the federal government. John Jessup sat down with the man at the center of the conflict, Alabama Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore.
A Vietnam War veteran, Roy Moore is no stranger to a fight. But today, he's engaged in a fight of a different kind, one being waged in the courts.
To me, it boils down to the simple fact that federal courts across this land have mandated their will unlawfully over the people of the states.
As Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, Judge Moore is an ardent and outspoken supporter of traditional marriage. His latest move, ordering Alabama's probate judges to stop granting marriage licenses to same-sex couples after a federal judge struck down the state's constitutional amendment upholding traditional marriage and preventing gays from taking their vows. That measure was approved by 81% of the state's voters.
The conflicting orders put the state front and center in the national debate over marriage, making Alabama the first state in the country to openly defy a federal judge's orders on the issue. Legal observers now say it is as much of a case pitting the federal courts versus state courts as it is a question of states' rights versus equal rights.
Judge Moore tells CBN News before giving his order, he asked the governor and state attorney general to get involved. Neither did. Moore's position is that state courts have just as much authority to interpret the U.S. Constitution as the federal courts do, and that the debate over marriage isn't about equal protection. Instead, it's about redefining an age-old institution that has long formed the foundation of families.
No federal court, to include the United States Supreme Court, has authority to go into the Constitution and define the word marriage. If we allow federal courts to intrude into the subject of marriage, then they will intrude in the subject of parent and child and husband and wife.
Critics call Moore a bigot, homophobic, and intolerant. Some have even compared him to former Alabama Governor George Wallace, who fought a federal government order to integrate the University of Alabama. Moore disagrees.
This is about sexual preference. The other is about a natural genetic makeup, which should not be discriminated against.
And he's getting support from unlikely places. A recent New York Times opinion piece titled "What Roy Moore Got Right" described him as provocative and out of touch, but also said, as for the word marriage, Moore is right that the Supreme Court cannot mandate how we use a word any more than it can create a social institution on its own.
What is your fear of what will happen if people like you don't take the stand?
Because it's not just redefining marriage, it's giving no definition to marriage.
I mean, what if the federal government gets up and decides what a puppy is, the Supreme Court, you know? And it's totally different than what everybody had always used the term for. I mean, here's the problem with gay marriage in my mind. Marriage has always, at least in some instances, but naturally and without any extra effort, been able to produce children. And gay marriage could never do that. You've always got to get a third party. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. We're almost out of time. I've got a couple of ads to run, but what's your point?
Well, my point is this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, okay? And all this is just the traditional nonsense by the evangelical Jesus freak people who don't like the way, you know, other people do their life and stuff. I don't have any problem. Somebody wants to go. Hey, they got to go. They got to go. That's the way it is.
Thanks a lot, man. Call back next hour. But you see these people that are behind this stuff see themselves as the greatest individuals in history, and anybody who opposes it are just bigots and idiots and biased and rednecks and morons and religious zealots. You can't disagree with them. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 655 on the button. So the government's going to come along and define what it means to be a man or a woman. And then everybody has to follow this new definition, including spending probably billions of dollars across the United States to adapt bathrooms to fit these things. And think about this. This is all out of somebody's mind. This is a person who's coming along saying, I am transgendered. I'm a tranny. And you know what? In the old days, somebody wanted to get a sex changed, pull a Bruce Jenner, go get that. You change your sex, you change how you look. I mean, I think there would be a certain level of sympathy for that person using a new bathroom, even if you don't agree with it. We got another call, but this gender now is just in the mind. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. We are running out of time. What's your point?
Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, Tony. Antonio.
Wanted to make a comment that these people on the left, they talk about our religion, but they want to force theirs down our throat. And it's all a lie. And the Bible says in these last days, they'll call what's good bad and what's bad is good. And it all started with the liar, BHO, boastful, haughty, obnoxious, bummer. He's a liar and he's spreading nothing but lies, and it's like a false religion.
Okay. All right. Thanks for the call, Antonio. We're running out of time. Thanks. All right, folks, we'll take you out of here and be back on the break of the hour with Walt Rubel.
Ain't no sunshine when he's gone. It's not warm when he's away. Ain't no sunshine when he's gone, and he's always gone too long. Anytime he goes away, I wonder this time where he's gone.
But it's 7:06. Today is the 10th. And it's 55 degrees outside, and we're here with Walt Rubel, and we're talking off the air. Walt just wrote an article on the bathroom issue for the Sun News, and Walt's the editorial editor of the Sun News.
It was a Sunday column a couple of weeks ago when it was all just sort of starting out. And my point at that time is, and still is, it is amazing to me to hear the state legislature talk about government overreach, that we did this in response to government overreach. I mean, their argument is that because the Charlotte City Council passed a rule that says we're not going to let businesses decide this on their own, we're going to come in as the government and do it for them, the way that we're going to resolve that is to have the state legislature pass the exact opposite rule, but that's the exact same thing, which says we're not going to let businesses decide this on their own. We're going to let the state government come in and decide this for them. And that's not government overreach, because we're doing it. When they were doing it in Charlotte, it was government overreach. When we're doing it now, it's not. I mean, the hypocrisy behind that is amazing to me. But the solution seems fairly simple, I think. And that is that if you are a person who is thinking about going through this process, but you still look and are a man or a woman, then you go to the men's or women's bathroom. If you are somebody who has gone through the process, then you go. Now, I guess the question is, if you are somebody who hasn't physically had the operation, but you, by all appearances, are a man, or you understand what I'm saying? In that situation, I think you go to the bathroom where you would cause the least disruption.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, you hardly need a rule for that type of thing. If somebody looks like a man and goes into the men's bathroom and goes into a stall, I mean, obviously a woman cannot go up to a urinal anyway and use it.
Right.
So she's going to go to a stall.
Right.
She looks like a guy. She goes in there. She does her business. She gets up. She leaves. Hopefully washes her hands on the way out.
No, I completely agree.
So why this has become not just a political hot potato, but
I think I know, but go ahead.
Well, they're attacking North Carolina. I mean, this is the argument, I think, for federalism to let states decide certain things, is that if the state population is inherently conservative, whereas other states are more, maybe a little more radical, it makes sense to me that to let them make decisions on their own. But I mean, this whole thing seems contrived to me.
But see, your argument is that it's wrong for big brother federal government to tell the poor little state what they have to do, but it's okay for big brother state to tell the poor little city what they have to do.
Well, I mean, I think the argument from the state is that we're going to decide these things because the cities will make these rulings that could be ruinous for these businesses. I mean, what if every business had to come up with a third bathroom, for example? What if they had to do that?
But that's what Charlotte wasn't proposing.
I'm just saying that that's one of the ways that you could deal with it.
Oh, okay, but I mean, that wasn't what was at stake here. So that's a what-if.
I just said what-if. I know,
maybe it would be appropriate to
there are some people that are suggesting we need third-way bathrooms.
Yeah, not many.
Well, I mean, it's out there.
It's not a common argument. It really isn't. The common argument is get the government out of it. I mean, that's what I don't understand on the part of the state government of North Carolina, is why they can't let the businesses decide this on their own. And if they did that, I am convinced that 99% of the businesses would want to please their customers and would want to come up with the same solution that you and I just agreed to, you know, 5 minutes ago. It seems pretty simple. Get the government out of it. You're supposed to be conservative. But this is, to me, again, the hypocrisy of conservatives. They want small government right up until the time when it serves their interest to want big government. And then they come in with both feet.
All right. I totally disagree with you. I think conservatives are minding their own business. And this issue gets nationalized. And then people are hit over the head because they don't want to go along with it.
How is this law minding your own business? When you're telling every
I'm talking
business
about,
in the state,
I'm
every,
ta-
every
I'll
private
answer you.
Business
I will
in the state.
Answer you when you stop talking for one moment.
Well, you did interrupt me.
I had to, just to get some room.
Okay. How is it
Let me answer it in the way that I choose to. I'll use a Ted Cruz line. You get to ask the question, I get to answer it.
Probably equally successfully, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, why do you step into my answers and tell me I'm not answering it correctly?
Kelly,
before
you
I'm
interrupted
finished.
Me first this time.
I had to. It
no,
was
you
an act.
You
it was
never
an,
have to.
It was an act of self-defense.
You never have to interrupt. The
it
other
was
person.
It was intellectual judo. So the question is, why do these things have to be driven from a national? It's a national right. movement to force people across the United States to. This is the, I think, the big issue in people's mind, whether there's a law involved in it or not.
Yeah.
People don't want to be forced into taking positions that they disagree with. They want freedom of expression.
But I don't understand why it's wrong when the federal government does it, but it's right when the state government does it. That's what I don't understand. Government's government.
Well, allow me to finish or respond. I think what they're trying to do is push back.
But clearly that's what they're trying to do, and on both sides. The state was trying to let me answer your first question. Why did they do it? I think it's clear. Why did the state of North Carolina do it? Why did other conservative states consider doing this? Because they're mad about the Supreme Court ruling on gay same-sex marriage. And so they are fighting back however they can. And they're doing it in a mean-spirited way.
How is it mean-spirited?
How is it mean-spirited to tell somebody who has been living as a man for 3 years that, okay, now you got to go to the women's bathroom? You don't see the mean-spiritedness in that?
Well, I just think that they, you know, I mean, if we're so totally open-minded, we could just let people go in whatever bathroom that they want.
But we're not. And nobody's saying we are. Nobody's making that argument.
Hold on a second. We got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, it's Karen.
Yeah, good morning, Karen. Hope you're well. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Hey, Walt. Walt.
Yes, Karen, you caught me in mid-swallow.
Okay. you're wrong.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with the Supreme Court ruling on legalizing gay marriage throughout the country.
Well, that's what I think.
Let her finish.
Well, you know, this is like Mike McKay when he was on some time ago, and he didn't like what the caller was saying, and he told him that he needed to go read more.
That's not what I'm saying, Karen. I'm saying that that's my opinion as to why this was started. That's all I'm saying is it's my opinion.
Let her finish.
Why this was started, in my opinion, is that, okay, so gay marriage was legalized, and we accept that, and we treat people with respect. And but this is just another step that is just a step too far. Because it really is just absolute insanity. That I agree with you, Walt. I like your common sense approach that if you have had the surgery, have at it. But if you can just come in and say, you know what, I am, and let me first say, no woman wants to go use a man's bathroom. There is no way a woman wants to tread in there unless you have transitioned into a man. But where the problem comes in is that you can see where men will abuse this, and no woman wants to have a man, especially in a locker room like at the gym I go to. Women are in all states of undress, and we shouldn't have to worry about a male coming in to our bathrooms. And that's where the problem is. This is just a huge leap forward for a very small percent of the population in this country that everybody is being it's being jammed down our throat that we have to accept this, and if we don't, we're the biggest. And it's too much.
Well, Karen, I would say a couple things. First, when you say that you have accepted gay marriage, you're speaking for yourself. But the southern part of this country has not. They clearly have not.
Look, honey, look, it's just like abortion. I don't like it. I don't agree with it, but I accept it. And you know, you guys can keep putting it out there that it's the South, they're bigots, they're ignorant.
Well, that's where this is happening.
It is the law of the land, just like abortion. So you move forward, but this is a whole different level, a whole different level, and it's insane.
Nobody, Karen, wants a law that says that men can come into the women's shower. I mean, that is not what this is about.
I bet you some men do want that law.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Kelly, is when you narrow it down to that, You are taking
they're called perverts. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You didn't mean to interrupt. Okay. You are taking what is basically the plot of a Porky's movie. I mean, that's what you're talking about. That somebody who has had this life changing, and I can't imagine what those shoes are like. I cannot. to have that life-changing experience and the notion that you would go through that simply because you could get a peek at a woman in the woman's shower. I mean, that's nuts to me.
That's the extreme. I'm saying what you said. If you have gone through the surgery, if you are that committed, and you've had all that psychological counseling, and you've actually had your equipment cut out, or however the heck they do that, and your hormones, and you've done it, fine. But if you haven't, then no.
Well,
it's,
see that,
it's that that. That's where the line's drawn.
Okay, but I think there is common ground.
I see an analogy.
Well, I told you there was.
I see an analogy here. It's the have you ever heard the analogy of the on the breakfast, the ham and egg breakfast, the difference between the pig and the chicken? The chicken is interested. The pig is committed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what you said in the beginning is common sense. If all the states and the feds would come down on that. You've transitioned, you've actually done, had it all done, then fine. But until that point, no.
Yeah. I disagree, but I think it's a, you know, it's a disagreement where I don't know if there's common ground or not, but it is such a rare occurrence where you have somebody who is a post-op transgender who, by all other appearances, I mean.
What about a cross-dresser? What percentage of these people that they call trannies or cross dressers that are just they get their kicks out of dressing up in the opposite clothes?
Yeah,
that's got to be more common than the actual sex change.
I don't know if it is or not, and my own personal experience is I have less sympathy for that. I if you want to write the law that says no, those folks can't do it. Okay, I'm fine with it.
Well, see, we shouldn't even have to be in the area of having to write a law because it's common sense.
I agree.
What's happened is we've lost the common sense.
That's right. I think that Charlotte should get rid of its law. I think that North Carolina should get rid of its law, and they should go back to letting businesses their own decisions.
Wait. What about the Department of Justice saying it's a civil rights violation? That's insanity.
Well, have you looked at Title IX? It is pretty wide and pretty broad.
Come on, that was black and white. That was segregation. That
No. It was men and women.
Male, female.
Title IX was men and women. I mean, Title IX is why we don't have men's wrestling teams anymore in college. And we have, you know, women's soccer teams and women's field hockey teams all over the place.
It should have nothing to do with different genders walking into the bathroom.
Well, it shouldn't.
I mean, that's just common sense.
Common sense is being crucified here. Anyway, Karen, we got to take a break.
Okay,
anything else?
Bye.
Thanks. All right. Good call. All right, folks. Got Walt here with a column that he just wrote on a topic. I just happened to do my opening today, and I expressed my frustration.
Yeah.
And Walt expressed his frustration. 719. Too frustrated. Hosts, we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. 523 1450 8056 180 to text. We'll be right back.
Wonder how long he's gonna stay. No sunshine when he's gone, and this house just ain't no home. And it's time to go away.
Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly.
Hello, this is Sean.
Hello.
Hello, this is Sean in Las Cruces.
Sean, what's going on?
Not a whole lot. Just wanted to talk to Walt about his stance.
Okay, can I put you on a hold? We've got maybe 2 minutes, and we'll come back.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Oh, so she was, it's a weird story. She was up in D.C. and was a performer, and she was just young, you know, 20s, whatever. And then she started to become well-known because she's just got this beautiful voice and style, and then she cut a record. A lot of her stuff is just live. That somebody came in and taped her in a bar. But she got cancer and died around the time that she started to become famous. So she was like lost. But she's just like probably the greatest female singer I've ever heard. Especially bearing in mind that, like I said, this is just live from a bar. Unbelievable voice, yeah. Well, it's a good topic. We got some calls.
Yeah. I haven't even mentioned.
All right. So we're here and we have Sean. And Sean, thanks for your patience. You wanted to ask Walt Rubel something.
Yeah, he made an offhanded comment that I hear a lot of liberals make. And he said, it's obviously not working in the South. Now,
That's not what I said.
You said it was the South that had the problem. Okay. And then you said it was the South that made the law in North Carolina and in the South.
That's what I said.
So I just want to hear from you what your definition of the South is.
Oh.
I'm a new transplant to Las Cruces. I'm actually from Louisiana, so I just want to hear that from you.
Same as everybody else does. I mean,
everybody else is? Because I hear this generic general term. You know that there are more crimes against minorities in New York City and Chicago than there is in New Orleans, right?
Crime? No,
you
I didn't know
that.
That.
Right? Because there's a liberal bias against the South because the South typically votes conservative. I'm gonna paraphrase what the gal said in the last call.
Okay.
She said that somebody had told another caller to read a book. I'm gonna go ahead and ask you to do some research on the South, and I think you might find that the South has a lot more minority-related. I'm driving my daughter to school. They're a lot better towards minorities than the North is.
Okay.
Most of your racist crimes happen in Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. They don't happen in New Orleans.
Okay.
There's a lot of reverse racism down there.
This isn't about race.
I think.
The discussion was never about race.
Though, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
It kind of ties together.
No, it
yes,
doesn't.
It does. And here's
okay.
how. Let me explain how it does before you tell me no, it doesn't.
Okay. But all my point is the discussion was never about race until you brought it up. That's my only point.
I think he's trying to make the point of overall like a bias in the South, right?
I'm trying to make a point of a liberal bias towards the South.
Okay.
And when we get up in arms because the federal government starts making laws that represent less than 20% of our society, and they make the other 80% suffer, even though our society is a republic democracy. We're supposed to majority rules, not about the minority. Yet all these new laws, they're always targeting minorities at the expense of the majority.
Okay.
And that's when we get up in arms, and that's when we make laws, and that's when we get offended. We don't do much when you guys write laws that don't or that are for the majority. It's when you go against the majority that we get upset.
Well,
a nice day.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. All right. So, Walt, your response?
Well, he apparently wasn't interested in my response, but the response is obvious that he's wrong when he thinks that 20% of the people disagree with him, that it's this 20% of liberals that make all the laws. And 80% of the people just have to deal with it.
It's more like 10%.
Okay.
We got another call here.
I mean, I don't know how to respond to that.
Don't take it personally. Here we go. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. This is Kelly. Who's this?
I wanted to say I disagree with Karen earlier about she said there is no female girl that would ever use a male's bathroom. I remember a number of years ago, I was at a rock concert, an Elton John rock concert house in Maryland.
Were you dressed as a man or a woman?
Bathroom facility.
All right.
Yeah.
What?
Were you dressed as a man or a woman? I'm just for the record.
Oh, geez. Here we go. Oh, good grief. No, I was a squared away straight dude, just like I am now, a very learned liberal straight dude.
All right.
Anyway, we only had two fixed bathroom facilities, a little porta potty stuff.
Yep.
There must have been 2,500 people out there. And the guy's line was really short, and then the girl's line was really long. And a lot of girls, you know, kind of, you could see it look on their face. And a lot of the guys, being gentlemen the way we were, allowed them to use our facilities. Now, they went into the stalls for sure. But there were no guys out there that were just hanging around trying to catch a look. It's so stupid. So they just needed to go. That's all. And good morning to you, Walt, by the way.
Good morning, Frankie. And I have been at places where that same thing has happened and where the guys weren't as gentlemanly and the women just went in and we all went together. So, you know.
Must have been Woodstock. It must have been Woodstock.
Everybody was there to just enjoy the concert. I mean, you drank your beer or soda, whatever you were drinking.
You gotta go. That's right.
Oh, my God. Look at this. You're so, you're such a weirdo pervert something. Nobody, them dudes was a stupid.
All right.
You know?
Well, thanks for standing up for all the weirdo perverts. Anything else?
Okay, no, that's it.
All right, have a good one. That was a joke earlier by, I was just joking earlier that somebody would want to go in there to watch women. Some guys, it was just a joke, you know? I mean,
yeah, no.
All right. So anyway, the sum total of your article, I think, is what I would agree with, is that if you've had a sex change, by all means, use the new bathroom because you're totally transitioned. Other than that, there's got to be, you know.
Well, and that wasn't what my column said, but the point is, I'm summing it up for you. But that is what you would have agreed with if I had made that argument in my column.
Well, so I mean, but that you it's all right. So what's your?
Well, but the argument that I made in my column was that this was government codification of discrimination, that this was putting discrimination into law, and that it was crazy, and that North Carolina will pay a heavy price for doing it. Whether it's the federal government or not, take the federal government out of the equation. They're already paying a heavy price for doing it.
I understand that. But here's the thing is you cannot disagree with the elites without being punished. It's no longer a difference of opinions. And you bring your argument. I bring my argument. If you disagree with the elites, they come after you with law.
Well, it depends on what your disagreement is. If your disagreement is, I want the tax rate to be this percent, and you want the tax rate to be that percent, you could have that disagreement all day long.
I understand.
If your disagreement is, I don't like blacks and I want to keep them out of my state, out of my store, out of my whatever, then no, you can't have that disagreement. You're
well,
right.
Thanks for standing up for blacks. We only
fought, you get the point.
We only fought the Civil War 150
you
years
get
ago.
The point.
But. I mean, there is a lot of stuff that the federal government comes down with a heavy hammer, but it's also social policy. They use the law to drive the change of opinion in these people. This is why people are alarmed. And I know that you're a common sense enough person to see some of this.
No, yes, I am. And right now, all the federal government has done is they have filed a lawsuit. The state has responded with their own lawsuit. We'll see what happens. And like I said, I don't know all that much about the economy in the state of North Carolina, but they've been bleeding money for ever since they made this decision. I got to think that's got to stop at some point.
Yeah, but I mean, so you're forcing them. They're using social media. I'm saying it's piling on. We got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Art Kelly.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, this is the kind of stuff that just makes me sick to my stomach. These guys, the left will go to bat, pull out their swords, and make this big battle over something like this. And I'm not going to argue the pros and cons of it, but why don't they pull out their swords and start dealing with the economy and the deficit? You know, the trillions of dollars that they're piling up on our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, the mess that they made of the economy, the spending they do, the Fed, what the Fed does, writing bad checks amounting to billions of dollars, and they're going to go to battle and stand up and pretend that they're the champions of the people with these stupid issues about who can use the bathroom and other and countless other issues that they go to war about.
What do you think?
When are they going to go to war about the real stuff?
Okay.
About the tax system.
I hear you and I agree 100%, Walt.
Well, I hear you too. I agree 100% that the economy is the issue. I disagree when you say it's they and their fault that the economy is in the situation that it's in now. I don't see a whole. I think Pete Domenici and who was it Alice Rivlin? They came out at the same time that Paul Ryan and that group, both at the same time, came out with deficit reduction plans that called for tax increases and cuts in spending. And the biggest, hardest part of it all was reform of Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, the entitlement programs. And both of them got rejected DOA on demand by both sides. So you are right in identifying the problem. But you are wrong in saying that the problem is all the fault of the liberals and that conservatives are on board for solving it, because they're not.
Is that what you're saying?
No, it's both sides of Congress that have destroyed our economy with their regulations. There's one party in Washington. There's 600 people, the president, the Congress, the Senate. Those are the people that we can all be traced back to. They're working for themselves. They spend half of their term working on their reelection. They wine and dine with the rich and wealthy contributors, and they've lavished them slathered them with benefits and gratuities in their legislation, and excuse me, but they screw the rest of us.
I think
the rest of us hanging with a bill.
Some evidence for this, and I'm sure that Walt and I agree on this, is you've got this battle in the elite side of both parties to keep control of their parties, and then the delegates, and the way this thing is played out has really exposed this monstrous need for power.
Well, I don't know if it's a need for power or if it's a distrust of the populace. Maybe a little bit of both, and maybe those are sort of the same thing. But that you're right. I mean, this primary election has really exposed just how rigged, if that's the right word, I think it probably is, the system is. It certainly isn't a pure one man, one vote type of.
We've got another call. Hey.
You know what?
Thanks for the call. Call back if you want to. All right, folks. If I cut you off and you need to say something else, call back. But trying to be more efficient. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Tom.
Good morning, Tom. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Well, we just spent 30 minutes talking about bathrooms and who can use bathrooms. And I think that last Sunday there was quite a few articles in the newspaper that would be talking about our local topics, local government, and things that are happening around local. I'd really like to hear Walt's opinion on maybe Steve Fishman's article that he had out.
What was his article on?
He was endorsing our two county commissioners and saying what a great job they do and how great leadership they are.
All right, so let's take a break. Thanks for the call. Anything else, Tom?
That's it.
Thanks. All right, folks, we'll take a break here and we'll come back and get the opinion of Walt, his humble opinion. Do you have any humble opinions?
They're all humble, Kelly.
we'll be right back. I think we're going to talk a little bit about a lawsuit, and we got one more call here. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's Karen again. I wanted to ask Walt to also touch on the fact that they did not endorse Mr. D'Antonio. If he'll touch on that too when
all right.
you guys come back.
We've got three topics to hit on.
Thanks,
we'll be back. All right, folks. We'll be right back. And Walt is going to hold court here in his own humble, inimitable fashion. We'll be right back.
Is Kelly here? We've got a caller. Caller, could you turn off your radio?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Who?
This is Chris.
Chris, yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, Chris. What's up?
Hey, well, I guess everybody else is calling in on this topic, so I thought I'd give a call. I agree with Walt on this, that it's the states, you know, who are trying to, you know, they should basically leave it up for the businesses to make the decision on this. And, but, you know, what a burden that is placed on the businesses to make this decision. And it's like, you know, I can just see it now, you know, how are we going to do this? You know, how are we going to put another third bathroom in? Are we going to put a sign up there that says going at your own risk? You know, how, I mean, how are you going to, you know, how is this going to happen? And, you know, it's a shame that this topic, that the individuals with, you know, that they're being used as a political tool to, you know, like if, you know, a situation where you have the needs of the few outweighing the needs of the many. So,
but what part is the shame?
That the individuals, the transgenders, you know, transsexuals and so forth, that that they're being used as a political tool.
I agree 100%. Chris, anything else? Or did you have anything to say, Walt, says Chris?
No, well, listen, I think businesses handled it, will handle it like they did before any of these laws were passed, and it wasn't a big problem. You know, get the government out of it. I don't understand why we can't be in agreement on that.
Thanks.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Thanks, Chris. Have a good day. All right. Okay, so we've got our three things that you were asked about, or a couple of things.
Yeah, well, let's start with the Steve Fishman column. And for those who aren't familiar, Steve Fishman was a state senator for 4 years, a Democrat, served one term and then decided not to run again for you know, whatever reasons, not scandal or anything like that.
He had an epiphany.
One term might be enough. At any rate, he had a column in the Sunday paper that was commenting on the meeting either last week or 2 weeks ago on this staffing study that was done regarding the sheriff's department. And this is just the continuation of what has been, you know, a 2-year fight ever since Kiki Vigil got elected over money. I mean, it for all of the other things that it has spun off into, it is at its core a fight over money. And I think it's important to remember that.
Got a call.
Okay.
Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kathy.
Good morning, Kathy. What's going on?
All right. First of all, for all those people out there that think the bathroom issue is not an issue, it is, and it has been. If you take a look at the stories, there are men that are going into the bathrooms photographing kids and women. And also, if people care more about money and politics and the economy than this issue and where it actually could be leading to, God himself will take care of that. You can count on it.
Where's it leading to?
Well, here's the point. If men are going into the bathroom photographing women and children, that's illegal. It was illegal before.
Well,
it's illegal now. It will be illegal in the future.
Okay. Right. Because this bathroom issue is already being allowed. It's already being allowed. And by the way, the governor of North Carolina yesterday said that this issue is going to go, it actually is going to be made law in all 50 states. Now, think about the Obama administration, who, by the way, they're mentally ill.
Okay.
They're mentally ill.
That's your opinion. You're entitled.
They belong in an
insane asylum. But it tells us where you're coming from.
We're groping kids.
Yeah.
Where is this all leading to?
Yeah.
Are they going to allow with gay marriage? Now, is this going to actually end up allowing adults marrying kids? You got to really think about this, and you better be afraid of God, Walt. You're the most arrogant person I've ever heard.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Bye. Kathy. Have a great day. We have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show.
That's not fair, Kelly, but go ahead.
Well, what's
not fair? What is not fair about letting her go on and on and on and end up with you're the most arrogant person I've ever heard? And then, we got a next call.
I hung her up. We've got another call blinking. Would you like to respond to her?
Well, no.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, Walt, this is Sean again. I wanted to explain. I got my kids dropped off now.
Okay.
I wasn't saying that 20% nick up the rules. I'm saying the rules are made for 20%. And that's what gets a lot of us conservatives upset, is when they start making rules for special interest groups. You know, the transgender community makes up less than 1% of our society. And now we've got this whole, oh, it's a civil rights issue thing. And it's a rallying cry, and it's all political. The previous caller was absolutely correct on both sides. But it does actually serve a purpose to rally the base in an election year over something that is a total non-issue.
Okay, Sean, you called in a little earlier. We're running out of time. Thanks for the call. We have one more call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Thomas.
Hold on 1 second, Thomas. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Ethan,
hold on. We're going to come back to you. Thomas, go ahead.
Well, I just had to take a position here with regard to the, I think her name is Karen, and she lambasted Walt there. I happen to be a theist, but I don't believe that anyone who chooses to believe that there is a God should say to someone else, you're the most arrogant person I've ever known, and you have to fear God.
That wasn't Karen. Just to clear the record, that wasn't Karen. That was Kathy, although not the normal Kathy that calls.
Okay, so her name was Kathy. To all those who are like Kathy, I'm a theist. We cannot prove that God exists, and neither can they prove that God does not exist. So you can't say to anyone, you have to do anything. We live in a democracy republic. We can do what we will. And so, like I said, I just wanted to say to Walt, I don't believe you're arrogant. I think you're level-headed. Just because you don't agree with me on something, I'm not going to call you names. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, Thomas. And you should see the tears, the genuine tears that Walt's crying right now. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Steven,
yeah, go ahead.
Walter Rubel, you come across as an arrogant and dismissive bastard.
Well, listen, Steven, that's fine. That's your point. But when she says something like Obama has brain damage or something like that, I'm going to be dismissive of that comment. And so if that comes off as arrogant and dismissive, I'm sorry, but that is not, I have a hard time debating on that level.
Well, I only mention it to you to try to help you improve you.
Okay.
Thank you for helping improve all of us. Thanks for the call. We'll be right back. Walt, did you want to defend yourself? I don't find you to be the most arrogant person that I've ever met.
No, I just did. I was fine until she got into crazy land. And when people get into crazy land, I don't respond well.
I don't blame you, Walt. You've got my full sympathy. 751, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450, and 805-6180. Let's not get into crazy land. We'll be right back. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly is happy.
Hello?
Kelly?
Yeah, who's this?
Kathy,
how's it going?
Pretty good. You know, Walt is the most level-headed, down-to-earth person I have ever heard on the radio. And, you know, I think his idea is fantastic.
He's also very handsome. Kathy, he used to be a model too, but go ahead.
Yeah. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to your show, and I love hearing a liberal or liberal leaning person answer some of these radical Christians who say we're all going to burn in hell. I have to say, I like the idea of let the businesses decide. Absolutely, let the businesses decide. Put up a sign. We transgender, okay, or, you know, whatever little sign you want to put up.
Kathy,
same with the
Kathy. I've missed your calls.
I was trying to give you a little space.
Oh, come on.
I I didn't want to be so.
Oh, get out of here. Give me a break. You got to have opposition calls so that people understand that there's more than one group of people listening.
Right, right. And I'm listening all the time, especially on Walt Day. So.
Oh, thanks for rubbing it in. Okay, hey, can.
Well, no, I listen all the time.
Kathy,
it's a great show. You guys talk about a lot of good things.
Kathy, can we bring your comments on the air?
Sure. Just briefly, I will tell everybody that I agree with Walt. I absolutely do.
Do you want his phone? Kathy, do you want his phone number? Yes or no?
No.
Yes or no?
I know how to get a hold of him. I can just go down to the Sun News.
I'm going to open a new business here. Matchmaking.
I'm married, but he's a wonderful guy. Just, you know, level-headed, intelligent.
Do you support polygamy?
He's just the best thing in this town. I wish he'd run for something. You know, I vote for him.
Dog catcher. Start off with dog catcher.
No, not a dog catcher. Something like mayor or something. That'd be great.
All right. We're about on the air. Hold on.
Las Cruces with Kelly O'Connell. He has to drive down Valley, too.
All right, folks, we have Kathy, who's called up to share her crush.
I agree with Walt. Walt is the most level-headed, intelligent person that is on the show.
Handsome.
To look at both
sexy.
Sides and give his opinion. If someone doesn't agree with him, you know, I guess you could tell him he's going to burn in hell, but, you know, that is absolutely ridiculous. I agree with that transgenders ought to have a choice of which bathroom they go into. And also the businesses ought to have a choice if they want to support that. Put up a sign. Some kind of
put up
sign
a sign.
Let people know that it's a
tranny's welcome.
Man and women out in the bathroom. I mean, the private. It's ridiculous not to allow people.
I've got an idea. We'll have all bathrooms be unisex and then have some stalls say undecided. Male, female.
Well, you know, when it came to the gay couple that wanted a cake bake and that baker didn't want to do it, or there's businesses that don't want to service gays, how about putting a sign that is a rainbow with a cross through it, a circle around it, and you will know that this business doesn't particularly want to serve you. You probably won't go in there. If you wanted to have a bathroom that is used by both sexes, put up a sign that lets them know. And if you don't in your business, also put up a sign, men only, women only.
How about just porta potties? They're unisex.
You think absolutely.
A porta potty.
These are absolutely.
We need to go back to square one on this stuff. Kathy, anything else? We're running out of time.
No.
Wonderful.
Well, you are a great person. Keep coming back to this show and don't listen all to those religious fanatics that are damning you to hell.
Okay. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks for your love,
okay,
Kathy. Well, all right. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Antonio again, Kelly.
Yes.
Just quickly, I wanted to say that you're a great person. You're very smart, and I like the way you live. Even if somebody doesn't agree with you, you let them on your show. But I also wanted to say that governor that the government took gave him 1 week to comply with their law or their rules. Why don't they do that for Hillary? You know, they're postponing everything and letting this tyrant get away with everything. And Obama is the worst thing that's happened to America. He's and his administration. Why don't they spend this energy on this bathroom issue against ISIS, and they would have been wiped out already.
Mm-hmm.
Thank both of you, and God bless you.
Thanks,
both.
Antonio. Well, we could go in and hit them like athlete's foot. wipe them out.
Yeah, we could carpet bomb them. Oh, no, that guy's not in the race anymore.
All right, so we got 1 minute left. Walt, do you have a concluding thought on what we've covered
today?
Yeah,
I'm a little – yeah, we didn't get to why we endorsed Mr. Dickens as opposed to Mr. D'Antonio and Steve Fishman's column. We just had, you know, too many calls on the bathroom bill. So real quickly, Fishman's column took the position that Billy Garrett and Wayne Hancock – were correct and running, you know, reasonable restraints on the budget, and that Kiki is out of control, and that his officers were trying to intimidate the county commission when they showed up. That was the point of that column. In terms of D'Antonio, we had, like we do with every single race, we brought both candidates in. We sat them down at the same table, and Mr. Dickens was better prepared, did a better job at that interview. And on top of that, Mr. D'Antonio has a track record that we looked at, and we considered all of those things, and we made the endorsement that we made.
Sounds like a track record without any gold medals is what the Sun News is saying.
Well, it was a track record that the voters can look at themselves and make their own decisions.
Thanks for coming in today, Walt.
Yeah,
it made my whole day.
Yeah.
Have a great day, folks. We'll see you back in 22 hours. Ciao. Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE.
I know.